Today's Shir Masechta Bava Kama Daf Chav Beis. We will begin Beis Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Chav Aleph Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom, Tana Rabbanan. Teaches us the Braisa Ha Kela Vagdi, a dog or a goat, Shadolga Mimata Mamala. If they jump from bottom up, and by jumping from bottom up, they broke vessels, Pturim, the owners don't have to pay. And here we have a machloikus Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi's opinion is that they will pay in this circumstance chatzi nezek, because this is mishuna. This type of a situation is unusual. And as we keep on learning in our shurim, the halacha is that when something unusual happened, the obligation is to pay chatzi nezek. Tosfos approach to this gemara that is in such a situation, the halacha is that you don't have to pay at all because it's considered like an oinus. It's considered something something not to be counted for, not to be expected. The owner is not obligated to assume that something like this would happen. And since the owner is not expected to assume that something like this would happen, he doesn't have to pay. They don't have to pay anything. Mamala mamata. But what happens if they jump from top to bottom? Chayavim. That's normal, and that could be considered a regal. And the halach is by regal, you pay nezek shalom. Continues the brisa. Other vatanagol shadalgu. If a person or a chicken jumped, here beimal mamata beimal mamata mala. Whatever direction they jump from top to bottom, bottom to top, chayavim. And the reason is, and here a chicken is chayiv because it's normal for a chicken to jump in either direction. And since it's normal for a chicken to jump in either direction, so that's why it's going to be considered regal. And if it's considered regal, that's where you pay nozik shalim. A person is a whole different concept. It's a concept we really haven't discussed much, but we're going to discuss extensively in our shiurim, and that is the concept of adam mu'ud l'olam. A person is responsible under all circumstances for what he does. Ask the Gemara, for Tanya, have we not learned in a brisa, hakel vagdi shadalgu, if a dog or a goat jumped, bein mamala mamata, whether they jump from top to bottom, bein mamata mamala, or from bottom to top, pturim. So isn't this quite the opposite of what we just learned in the Braisa? The truth of the matter is, the Rishonim point out that the Gemara could have asked this question on the Mishnah that we learned on Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, where the Mishnah says that if the dog and the goat jump from the top of the roof, which is a case of Ma'al Mamata, they pay Nezek Shalem, and here we learned that they're Potter. But say the Rishonim, the Gemara Tosfos, the Ramask of Tanya tells us, the Gemara first wanted to bring down all the other Brisa about this, and since the Gemara wanted to bring down the other Brisa, so and then the question is both on the Mishnah on the Brisa. Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz says the reason the Gemara didn't ask on the Mishnah says because you pay close attention, the wording of the Mishnah and the wording of the Brisa are not identical. The Braisa uses the words dilgu. The Mishnah uses the word kaftsu. And one can make an argument that there's a difference between kfitza and dilug. But both the Braises that we've learned in today's shir speak about dilgu. And therefore, nobody could come up with an answer that there's a difference between dilgu and kiftsu. Another pshat that the Bach says that we would maybe be able to explain that the Mishnah is speaking about a case that these animals had no weight, as we discussed at the previous year. Our Mishnah here is speaking about a wall. And since it's a wall, it could be they had no other way of getting off the wall. And since they had no other way to get off the wall, that becomes the normal fashion of how to get off the wall. Whereas here, it's not necessarily talking about getting off a wall. Since it's not talking about getting off a wall, then we have a question, how do we reconcile these prices? to which the Gemara says, Tergmer Rapapa, the way Rapapa says that the Apich Melku, that the dog and the goat did not do what there is normal thing to do. Normally, they jump in one shot, and a goat jumps in one shot, and a dog goes up the wall by grabbing onto the wall. Kalba, here, the Kalba went down by Zakira. It jumped like a goat. The Gadya and the goat, Besricha, went up by holding onto the wall. And therefore, since this is unusual, that's not the way they usually go, that's why the owners are potter under all circumstances. The Braisa that we began the shiur with today says we're not talking about such a situation that the dog or the goat acted in an unusual manner. Since it's not speaking about a case where the dog or the goat acted in an unusual manner, so now we look at how they went down. Did they go up or down in the normal fashion? Says the Gemara, if that's the case, that the issue here is that they went down or up, but they didn't go in their normal fashion. The dog climbed like a goat, and the goat climbed like a dog. So in Cain, why does the Braisa say Peturim, which means that they're entirely potter? They're not entirely potter. This becomes a situation of Keren, which is Meshunah, which is unusual. And the halacha is that you pay Chatzi Nezek, you're not potter entirely. Answers the Gemara, that's exactly what the Braisa means. What the Braisa means to say is potter Nezek Shalem, you won't have to pay Nezek Shalem, but you will have to pay Chatzi Nezek. So Tosfos asks a question. Why are we saying that if the dog or the cow or the goat did not go down in their normal fashion, that this Tosfos the Rimask or the Apach, are they only paying Nezek Sholem? Still, since it's the obligation for the owner to make sure that the goat or the dog don't jump over, and I as the owner, my obligation is to make sure that they don't jump in the usual fashion. But I obviously wasn't watching, because were I watching, this wouldn't have happened. So why is this not considered a case that we discussed previously of Tchilas B'Pshia? It started off that I was negligent, and indeed, even though B'Soif B'Oinis, at the end something unusual happened, there was a man d'Omer that I'm Chayiv. So Tosfos answers that even the man d'Omer that says Tchilas B'Pshia Soif B'Oinis is Chayiv, that's only in a situation by Keren. But in a case of Regel, Tosfos says a very bechiddush, that in a case of Regel, everybody agrees that Tchilas B'Pshia V'Soif B'Oinis is Chayiv. Says the Gemara, Kalev Notel, we learned in the Mishnah that Kerev took a biscuit and went to the place where there's the grain, and he ate the biscuit and he burnt the grain. So on the biscuit he pays Nezek Shalem, that the eating of the biscuit is Shein. And on the Gottish you pay Chatzi Nezek. Says the Gemara, Itmar, they learned in the Beis Medrash regarding the Mazik of Eish. So even though the Torah very clearly says that Eish, as we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, is one of the Mazikim, but Eish, as we also learned at the beginning of the Masechta, is a very unique mazik, because all the other mazikim do damage completely on their own. But when we speak about the mazik of Eish, as the Mishnah and the Gemara that we have learned told us, that Eish is ruach, that something else that causes it, the ruach, the wind blows the fire. And therefore, that makes Eish into a very unique type of mazik. And since it's such a unique type of mazik, the Gemara wants to begin to study what is the logic behind it. So, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Eish Mishem Chitzov. Somebody who lights a fire, it's considered as if he did the damage. It's considered like if he threw an arrow. So everybody will agree that if somebody throws an arrow, Yechayiv, because Adam HaMazik, this is also in that category. But I saw the Rab Nochem Perchovis Satzal explains that, of course, this is not your classical case of Adam HaMazik. Because in the case of Adam HaMazik, the person does the damage all by himself. When we speak about a person doing damage with Eish, as we said a moment ago, the Eish is only Eish because the person helped make the ruach, that the wind blows that fire, that's why Yechayiv. And moreover, as Tosfos points out, even Rabbi Yochanan, that says Isha Mishem Chitzon, and that what that means is that it's considered as if you threw an arrow, making a fire is in the same category, says Tosfos, it doesn't mean that you have to actually light, burn something to be Chayiv. Tosfos says that even if you just have a fire, and we're going to be discussing this quite extensively, even if you have a fire which you did not properly protect, that would also be considered Eish. So the Nemuke Yosef asks a question. He says, if we're learning now that the definition of Eish, as Rabbi Yochanan says, is Mishem Chitzo, it's as if I'm, as long as the fire is traveling, it's as if I caused the fire to travel. So ask the Nemuke Yosef, why would it be mutter to put on a fire on Erev Shabbos and have that fire continue burning on Shabbos? If Eish Mishim Chitzo means as long as the fire is burning, it's as if I am burning and lighting that fire, so why wouldn't it be that it's considered like I'm lighting that fire on Shabbos? And it should certainly be Usur. Says the Nemuke Yosef, the way to understand that Eish Mishim Chitzo means that it's as if I'm lighting the fire, but it all relates back to the time that I actually lit the fire. Eish Mishim Chitzo teaches us that I lit the fire on a Friday, and I lit the fire on Friday. Whatever happens afterwards is a continuation and a direct result of what I did on Friday. And therefore, Yechayiv. The Har Tzvi, so what comes out from the Nemuke Yosef, and we'll see this in the Gemara Mitzvah Shem, is what's going to be the halacha if I lit the fire and then the person who lit the fire passed away. And only after he passed away did the fire do damage. So how does the halacha look at that? If we say that Isha Mishim Chitzov means that we go back to the moment the fire was lit, so even though the damage wasn't done till later, but the halacha looks at it as if it was done at the time it was lit, when the time it was lit, this person was Baruch Hashem very much alive. And even though now when it actually does damage, and a person who's obviously not alive is incapable of doing damage, here it would be considered that he did the damage when he was alive. The Har Tzvi in Or Chaim Chelek Aleph Siman Kuf Lamed Beis has a whole different answer to this question. And his answer to this question is that when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, there is a concept of Melechus Machsheves. And Melechus Machsheves brings an entire new definition to Melacha, which is not necessarily consistent with what is considered a Mazik. So even though we're learning a Halacha of Eishoi Mishem Chitzoi, the Halacha is that wouldn't apply for Shabbos. The Avni Nezer in Or Chaim Siman Shin Pei Ches says that the Ran disagrees with the Nemuke Yosef. And he says that actually the halacha is like the Ran, who is the Rebbe of the Nemuke Yosef. And they say that if somebody puts, let's say, a pot on the fire on Shabbos, and it won't get cooked until Motzei Shabbos, it's not considered cooking on Shabbos. So what do we see from this? What we see from this, when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, the entire melacha has to be done on Shabbos. So if the melacha began from before Shabbos, even if we'll say Eish Mishem Chitzoi, it doesn't make a difference. Eish Mishem Chitzoi means that it started in Erev Shabbos and continued into Shabbos. And to be chayiv for Shabbos, the entire melacha had to be done on Shabbos itself. And if it wasn't done on Shabbos itself, it wouldn't be considered. And that's why I saw a very interesting question that the Poskim discuss. If let's say somebody will not be home at the proper time for Hanukkah lighting, can he set up a contraption where that something will light the candles remotely? And the Poskim say it wouldn't work. If it was set up from before, why don't we say Eishim Hashem Chitzoy? That Eishim Hashem Chitzoy, especially we follow the opinion of Har Tzvi, is a special halacha mezikim. Or for candle lighting, the lighting is an integral part of the mitzvah. And if the lighting wasn't done properly at the right time, it wouldn't be considered lighting. Based on this, the Pesach can discuss if somebody set up a Shabbos clock, which we know many people have Shabbos clocks, and the lights go on Shabbos because of your Shabbos clock, but you set up your Shabbos clock from Friday. So again, says Rav Moshe, in the Shas Chubas Igros Moshe, Eirich Chaim Chelik Dalet Simen Samach, that this would not be considered that you put on the candles on Shabbos. Because Eishim Hashem Chitzoy, the Numukai Yosef, doesn't mean that you actually lit the candles on Shabbos. But Rav Moshe, this is a very famous tshuva for Rav Moshe, says that it's not so simple that we should rely on Shabbos clock, because there's a new concept, because that's a concept of Afshe Milsa. People will see that your lights are going on at Shabbos. They won't realize that it was put on by a Shabbos clock, and therefore there's an issue of Maris Ayin, Afshe Milsa, people seeing that your lights are going on at Shabbos. But it turns out that it's a very interesting point, that according to this, the first person who used the Shabbos clock, Rav Moshe can make a suggestion, perhaps did the wrong thing. He had no right to use the Shabbos clock because I, walking by his house, will not realize that the lights were just put on by a Shabbos clock. I'll think the Chas V'Shalom, the lights were turned by that person. But once Shabbos clocks became popular, so walking by someone's house and seeing the lights go on doesn't lead me to believe that this person was Chas V'Shalom Mechal Shabbos. I'll assume that he put on the Shabbos clock, that it had a Shabbos clock. So it becomes very interesting. The first person who used the Shabbos clock maybe should not have used the Shabbos clock, but now people who are using the Shabbos clock have every right to use the Shabbos clock. Many Mefarshim asked the question. Here, Rabbi Yochanan is the man Domer that's saying that how do we understand the Mazik of Eish? The way we understand the Mazik of Eish is because Eishoy Mishum Chitzoy. So many Mefarshim asked, the Gemara, Masechta Tainis Chav Tesam Aleph, quotes our Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan in that Gemara says, El Molei Hayisi Baisadar, had I been alive in the time of the Churban Habayis, in the time when they established Tisha B'Av, like Kvatav Ela Basiri, I would have only made Tisha B'Av fall on 10th Ba'av. Sherubah Shal Heichel Nefzer Basiri. Most of the Beis HaMikdash got burnt on the 10th of Av. But ask many Mefarshim, Rabbi Yochanan and Al Gemara is the man that says, Isha Mishim Chitzoy. That what's the main factor to take in consideration when we think about fire? When the fire was lit. And the fire was lit on Tisha B'Av. So why isn't that the main consideration? Why would Rabbi Yochanan say that we should keep Tisha B'Av on Asar B'Av? So the Sefer Merafs and Igra asked this question, and he quotes that Rabbi Gamaliel Rabinovich, who explains that the reason that they established Tisha B'Av is not because of the fire. The reason we have Tisha B'Av is because of the burning of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, what Rabbi Yochanan said was that since the actual destruction of the Beis HaMikdash was on Tisha B'Av, that's the only reason, that's the only consideration. So it has nothing to do with the burning. The burning is a new halacha. It's halacha, and perhaps it's very much similar to what we said before. When we speak about burning, so there is a concept of Isha Mishim Chitzoy, and the primary factor to take into consideration is when we actually light the fire. But when we talk about the Beis HaMikdash and the Avelis that we have for the Churban, that's for the burning of the Beis HaMikdash, when the actual Beis HaMikdash was being consumed. And for that he said that that primarily took place on that primarily took place on Yud Ba'av. Rish Lakish Amar, Rish Lakish has a whole different approach to Eish. Rish Lakish says, Eish Mishim Moinai. The way he looks at it is that it's Maman Hamazik. It's that it's your thing that created damage. And the simplest way, says Rashi, of understanding the difference between Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan will be if somebody used somebody's fire that doesn't belong to him. According to Rabbi Yochanan, you'll be chayif, because it has nothing to do with memoinai. It has to do mechitzoi. It's as we said a moment ago, it would be an example of Adam Hamazik. Adam Hamazik is not connected to something that you own. But according to Rish Lakish, that the factor is memoinai, so it's only on your fire that you would be chayif. You wouldn't be chayif on somebody else's fire. That's the way Rashi learns. Tosfos and many Rishonim don't agree with that approach, because they bring different rayas from the Gemara that even if somebody used somebody else's fire, it's certainly considered an act of Eish. And therefore, they say that Eish would be like a bar that we've learned many times, Allah is, Shnei Dvarim Einu B'Rishus HaShel Adam, they're really things that halakhically don't belong to you. V'asan HaKosam B'Rishusoy, and they make it as if it's yours. And one of them is Bor. And the same thing would be by Eish. So according to them, what would be the Nafkamina? It would be if the fire started in your property and went further. According to Rabbi Yochanan, it's Mishum Chitzoy. So it doesn't make a difference where it started. According to Rish Lakish, if you properly lit a fire in your property, maybe you wouldn't be Chayiv. Ask the Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan has presented a very solid reasoning of Eish Mishim Chitzoy. So ask the Gemara, Rish Lakish, my time alayam with Rabbi Yochanan. Why doesn't he agree with Rabbi Yochanan? And as the Rishonim point out, the question becomes all the more powerful because we're going to learn Rayas from Brises and Mishnayas that support Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. Amalach, Chitzoy Mikoycha Ka'azli. Says when we talk about throwing a spear, the spear goes because I threw the spear. As we've been discussing, when we speak about fire, the fire does not primarily burn because of me. The fire burns because of something that I caused the fire to go further. And therefore, we can't compare the two. You can't say, Reb says, Rish Lakish, Eish Mishem Chitzoy. So ask the Gemara now, on the other hand, Rish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan, my tamalim, Rish Lakish. Why does Rabbi Yochanan agree with Rish Lakish? And of course, the Tosfos points out that didn't we just say a moment ago that Rabbi Yochanan has psukim and brises that support his opinion? So why does in the Gemara, what's shot in the Gemara's question? So explains Tosfos, now that the Gemara has so well explained why throwing a spear is so very different than a fire, the Gemara's question is, even if Rabbi Yochanan will successfully bring psukim to support his opinion, the psukim that he brings to support his opinion wouldn't be able to change the reality that Rish Lakish has a very good svara. Amaloch, says Rabbi Yochanan, we can't compare the two. Memoinai is memashai. When we talk about mammon, so the best example of mammon is a shor hamazik. Shor hamazik is mammon hamazik. But the shor is a tangible animal. Ha, when we speak about a fire, less by mashasha. Fire is not really something which is tangible. And even though, so therefore it's not the same. So I saw that the Rish Tosfos, Divrei Maskam Amoinai, asks a very powerful question. He asks, where do we see that for something to be considered Memoinoi, it has to be something tangible to be considered a mazik. He says, let's think about a bor. Somebody falls into the bor, so as we learned, and we will learn, he's chayiv. So why? So you see that the moment you fell into the pit, what's the mamoshes? So Taisus answers that a pit does have mamoshes. Because what happened by a pit? You started with level ground, and after you began with level ground, you dug a pit, and the ground that you began with is not the ground that you have now. So that's something sheyesh by mamish. You started with ground that was level, and you ended up with ground that's in a pit. Unlike Aish, which the Gemara is saying is never something tangible. Ask the Gemara on Reish Lakish's opinion. Tanan, ask the Gemara, we learned in our Mishnah, HaKelef Natul Charora, if a dog took a biscuit, and with that biscuit he went and put it on top of grain, the halach is that Yechayiv Chatzi Nezek for the burning of the grain. Says the Gemara, Bishlam Lamanda Eish Mishim Chitzoy, according to the Manda Amar, that fire is, like Rav Yochanan said, Eish Mishim Chetzoy, why Yechayiv Chatzi Nezek? Chitzi the Kalifu. It's the dog that threw the spear, and therefore it's considered a situation of Tsroiris. It's not that you have the dog and the dog threw the spear, and therefore the halach is that it's considered like Tsroiris, and by Tsroiris there's going to be, you pay Chatzi Nezek. Although Rashi says that if a person were to throw a fire, it would never be considered Tsroiris. And if a person threw a fire, he would always have to pay Chatzi Nezek. But ask the Gemara Elamand, I'm according to Reish Lakish, that says, Isha Mishim Emoinai, that the Chayef Eish Hashim Emoinai, Hay Eish Lam Emoinai, the Baal Kelef, who the fire isn't belong to the owner of the dog. The fire was put on by somebody else. And so since he didn't put on the fire, and he's not the one that's carrying the fire, he should not be held responsible. Amar Reish Lakish, Hachem Ma'iskinen, our Mishnah speaking about a case that the person, the dog, threw the biscuit on the grain, and he ate the biscuit right there, and that caused that coal that's attached to that biscuit burnt the spot on which the biscuit is, and like that it spread further. Al Chararo, on the actual biscuit, says Reish Lakish, Mishalem Nezek Shalem, because this is a classical case of Shein Brishus HaNizik. V'alamokim, on the spot where it fell, V'amokim Gecheles, on the spot where the Gecheles fell, Mishal Chatzi Nezek, because that is Tsroiris. It's an outgrowth of the actual biscuit. V'algod, that's on that spot. Val Godish Kula, and on the rest of the area that got burnt, he'll indeed hold Potter. He won't be chayiv because it only spread because of the tsroiris. And the halacha is that isn't going to be a case that you should be chayiv because he doesn't own that coal. Rabbi Yochanan, who says that our Mishnah is speaking about anuchi, that the dog put the biscuit on with the coal on top of the grain, ala charora, on the actual biscuit, v'amokim, and on the spot where he put that biscuit and the coal was on that spot, v'shalem, nezek shalem. On the charori pays nezek shalem because of shame. On the spot there was, because that's regal, because it's common for a dog to carry things and put them in different places, that's regal. Al-Godish, and on the rest of the grain that spread from that fire, so that's Tsroiris, and on that, he'll say you'll pay Chatzi Nezek like by all Tsroiris. Ask the Gemara and Reish Lakish another question. Toshma, the Mishnah teaches us on Daf Samach Beis, Gomel Tom Pishtun, if a camel is carrying linen, Vavav Rishos Rabbim is walking Rishos Rabbim, Nichnas a Pishtun al Toch Chanus, and it's carrying a very big load, so even though the camel was walking Rishos Rabbim, part of the load protrudes into the store, and that pishtin gets caught on the fire that the storekeeper has, and because of that, there's a fire, and hidlik sabira, an entire house in which that store was, the halach is baal gal mechayev. He's chayev for that store, that building that burnt down. But let's say the storekeeper kept his candle outdoors, and that's how the baggage that this camel was carrying got ignited. Then the storekeeper is chayev because he shouldn't have left his fire outdoor. And not only will he be chayev if the building chas v'shalom burns down, but he'll also be chayev for anything that the camel is carrying. However, the Miri points out that would only be the case if the camel is carrying a normal package. So since the camel is carrying a normal package, it cannot be expected that the person who left the fire outdoors should have paid attention that that might happen. But if it's carrying something more than usual, so he could claim, I never had to assume that something like this is going to happen, and he will not be held responsible. However, comments of Yehuda, the Ner Chanukah, if he kept the Ner Chanukah outdoor, the halacha is that he would be potter. And the reason he's potter is because on Chanukah, it's normal that it should be left outside. And since it's normal that it should be left outside, so then, just like the camel has a right to walk in the Shus Rabbim, as we keep on speaking, that when a camel, any animal, walks in the Shus Rabbim, there's no shame, there's no regal, because they have every right to be there. So too does this person have every right to have his Chanukah candles outdoors of Chanukah. Says the Gemara, after we've learned this brisa, Bishlama, the man of Mishim Chitzo, Rabbi Yochanan explained that Ish Mishim Chitzoi, so we understand why, if the camel's baggage is in the store, chitz of the gomel who? The gomel is the one who, as if he put the entire building on fire, and therefore the owner will be chayiv for tsroirus. Elman the mishum emaynoi, hay eish la emaynoi the baal gomel who? He didn't make the fire. The fire belongs to the storekeeper. It doesn't belong to the owner of the camel. Amalach Rish Lakish, hachemai skinen, v'machsechz kolabira kula. The Mishnah is speaking about a case where the fire didn't spread by on its own. What happened was the linen that this camel is carrying is now on fire, and this camel, as it walks around, is burning everything it comes into contact with. So that's called regel b'rishus hanizik. Says the Gemara, if that's the way, we're going to understand that the camel is walking around. And whatever the camel is walking around, and therefore whatever he's touching starts to burn, and that's why he's going to be chayiv. If the storekeeper kept the candle outside, chavani chayiv. But if it's talking about, as we just explained, that the camel's walking around, amai chayiv, why should the owner of the store be chayiv? It's the camel walking around that's causing the damage. Answers the Gemara, it's talking about a case, Bisha'omda. It stopped there. And therefore, since it stopped there, it's now walking around and causing the damage by its walking around. And that's why it's just the fire that got caught. Ask the Gemara, Omda v'sikhsikoshke and the chamvani pata baal gal mechayev. If it stopped, then why should the storekeeper be chayev? The owner of the camel should have pushed the camel away and not let it stop and stand in a place where it could do damage. Answers the Gemara, Amar Afuna by Menoyak Mishmeid Ravika, Hachem Ma'eskinen, Kigon Sh'amda Lahata Ma'mel. If it stopped and it has a burning package on it, so there we have a great point. Why are you stopping where you could cause damage? But it stopped because it had to relieve itself. And since, obviously, it's normal and common for an animal to have to stop, for normal to have to stop, you can't have any issue with it. Why did it stop? Why should it be chayif? Toshma. Ask the Gemara, Reisha. So ask the Gemara, the way we're understanding this, Reisha, Baal Gomel Chayif, Dilboile Lefushi Batina. Why do we say he shouldn't have had so much of a package that the package went into the store? Sefer, and the Sefer, the Chemveni Chayiv, the Leboyle and Luchin Neir Mebroi. He shouldn't have left his candle outdoor. Toshma. So the Gemara asks another question, Reish Lakish. Hamanuk Sagadish. If somebody puts on a fire on grain, Vayigdi Kofasloi, and there's a goat tied to that Gadish, the Evid Samachla, or there's an Evid that's right next to the Gadish, the Nisif Imoi, then, and they, the goat, the Evid, get burned together with the Gadish. Chayiv, the one that put on the fire, is Chayiv for the damage to the goat and the Gadish, but he's potter on the Evid, because the Evid should have run away. And if he didn't run away, that's the Evid's issue, not his issue. Evid covers law, but if the Evid was tied, so he couldn't run away, Ugdi Samchloi, and the Gdi is nearby, the Nisraf Imoi, and the Evid and the Gdi got burnt, potter, that is potter for the Gdi and the Gadish, because he's chayiv for Evid. And the halacha we know throughout Shas is that we say, Kim Lema de Rabbanei. The Pasuk says, V'pila ha-shoifet v'kel afon of k'dei rishos b'misor. And from here we learned, V'shem rishoy achas atem chayivoy, you only chayiv him for one, and not, you only chayiv for one, for two. And a very important point that Rashi makes, Rashi says, well, what, obviously, or probably, there was no hasra here. So you won't be chayiv misa, because you only chayiv misa for killing somebody if there was hasra. So why would we say kimle midrabbanei? We should only say kimle midrabbanei when there's somebody going to get killed. Nobody's getting killed here. So the chiddush is that if you did an aveira for which there's misa, even though in the particular case there won't be any, in the particular case there wouldn't be any chiyuv misa, but still, we still apply the concept of kimle midrabbanei. There's a medrash pliya on the pasuk of in the shira hayom ra v'yonis, says the medrash ma ra ruchush shal mitzrayim ra. So the mefarshim ask, what does this medrash mean? So the question that many mefarshim ask is that we know the Mitzrim and Mitzrayim, they got two punishments. They got killed, and they were punished that all of their money went to Klal Yisrael. And if we apply the concept of Kimle Midrabbanei, they ought to not get both punishment. So the answer is that that's only if both Chiyuvim come at the same time. But if both Chiyuvim don't come at the same time, and then we don't apply the concept of Kimle Midrabbanei. So that's what happened. When the Mitzrim were in the Yam, they were mafker all the money. And as soon as they were mafker the money came to Klal Yisrael. And the Misa only came later. And that's what the Medrash says. Hayom Ra V'yonos, Ma Ra, what they see? Ruchusha Mitzrayim Ra. They saw the belongings of Mitzrayim. And they saw the Mitzrayim were mafke their belonging. And therefore, it was before they died. And therefore, we can't apply here Kimle Midrabbanei. Says the Gemara, Bishlam Lamando Mishim Shvichitzoi. And I go back to this Gemara. In the case, according to the opinion that says Ishim Shvichitzoi, Mishim Hochi, that's why you put on the Gdi for Gadish, because it's as if you also killed this person. And therefore, we're going to say, as we've been saying, Kimle Midrabbanei. El mandam ishim shim maynai amay potter ilu kote ture avdi. If somebody's animal killed somebody else, the person who owns the animal is not chayiv misa, even though his animal killed someone else. So here, ask the Gemara, if we follow the opinion of Reish Lakish of ishim shim maynai, it's my mom that killed somebody else. If my mom killed somebody else, why would I say kimle midrabbanei? Hachanam lam chayiv. Answers the Gemara, Amalak Roshim Ben Lakish, Hokhmai Skinen, Kisheitsu Begufa Shladav. The fire burnt the actual body of the Evid, and therefore it's considered as if I killed the person, and therefore, since it's considered as if I killed the person, and that's why it's considered kimlei b'drabimnei. Moreover, explained the Rishonim, that it has to be that the eved was tied up, because if he wasn't tied up, as we said before, he could have run away. Yachi, if the Mishnah is speaking about that I actually put the fire on the eved, so Maila Memra, of course, this is a classical case of kimlei b'drabimnei. Says the Gemara, lo tzricha b'gedi d'chad. The Mishnah is speaking about one person owns the goat, eved d'chad, and another person owns the camel. And therefore, we would say that since the misa is because of one person's property, and the mammon is because somebody else's property, we shouldn't say the concept of kimlei b'drabimnei. Maybe we should only say the concept of kimlei b'drabimnei where it emanates from the same person. But if it doesn't emanate from the same person's ownership, we don't say it. Teaches the Gemara, we do say it still in that case. Toshma. So the Gemara asks another question, Reish Lakish. The Mishnah on Daf Nun Tesama base teaches us a shlecha sabira b'yad chereshoit v'katan. If somebody sends a fire in the hands of a chereshoit v'katan, pot medine adam, v'chayiv medine shemayim. There's a machlokes rishonim. Whenever our Gemara says pot medine shemayim, what is that? V'chayiv medine shemayim doesn't mean that medine shemayim you should have to pay, and until you paid, you may be posulated this. Or medine shemayim means that if you won't pay, chas v'shalom, they'll punish you in the shemayim. So says the Gemara, if we'll say that Eish is because I threw the arrow, here I didn't throw the arrow. The cherish was the one that spread the fire. What would be the luck if somebody gave over his animal to a cherish shayt of a cotton? So certainly, all of us would agree that in that case, that would anybody suggest that you wouldn't be chayiv? Of course you'd be chayiv. Hit my law. Amr Rishlokish, says the Gemara, Rishlokish, our Rishlokish, said in the name of Chizkiah, in explaining that Mishnah, it's only talking about where we gave him coals, for Liba, and he caused the coals to grow. So since he caused the coals to glow, the person who owns it wasn't the one that created the fire. Ava Moser shall have us, but indeed, if the person gave children a fire, he would be chayiv, because since it's Bari Hazeka, that's a case where certainly it's going to make a fire, and therefore, since you gave a fire to such an individual, you'll be chayiv. Rabbi Yochanan Mafil shall have his potter. Even if you gave an actual fire to the Chereshoy to the Kotten, you'd be potter. Because Rabbi Yochanan's opinion is tzafsa the cherish kagorim. It's not you alone that caused this. It's only because the cherish. It's only because the cherish participated. And the way I saw that the sheet of Mekubetz explains that, therefore, this is considered a grummer benazakin. It's not you alone that caused the damage. It's you giving it to this child. And grummer benazikin is chayiv. And therefore, says the Gemara, says Rabbi Yochanan Mechayiv, a person will not be chayiv for giving a child a fire, adam maslei, unless he gives him gavza, dry wood, silta, small twigs, vishraga, and a big fire. There, it's certain that the fire will spread, and therefore you'll be held responsible. However, it's not total your act, even though you certainly should not have given that to a cotton, the halacha is, that's what Rabbi Yochanan says, the Mishnah explains, you're not chayiv.